All right. Let's begin by reading the last two verses of 2 Thessalonians. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every letter, I write thus. That's kind of a literal. And then Paul says, the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So here at the very end, Paul stops speaking to his secretary, who he was most doubtful of. We don't know who it was. It may have been a professional scribe, you might say. We don't know. Could have been a brother. But nevertheless, Paul, at this point, takes up the pen himself, and he signs the letter, and he says, this is how I write, and I sign every one of my letters this way. And he says, the grace of the Lord be with you all. Now, I'm going to quote twice here this morning from a fellow, or two fellas. You don't know which for sure, but there's a wonderful book called The Life and the Letters of St. Paul. It has two authors. Coney Bear, which is an interesting name, isn't it? And Housen. And they wrote in the 1800s, and they were just supreme scholars. And there's hardly a work that matches it, just all in one volume on the life of Paul. One of them translated Paul's letters, and the other one wrote the history part. And I never can remember who was who. Did Coney Bear do the translation work, or was that Housen, or vice versa? I just don't know. But nevertheless, I'm going to quote twice from here, and I'm going to begin with just one line from Coney Bear and Housen. And he, right at the end of this letter and in their discussion of it, they say, we now have in possession inspired epistles in all their freshness and integrity and with all their lesson of wisdom and love. And as you know, I've been saying over and over again that these letters were the very first, epistles written. And who would know that all of a sudden these epistles would become the very idea and the very heart of the missionary enterprise, the very heart of Christianity, the letters written to churches by men of God. There weren't necessarily expositions. They weren't necessarily, theological treatises, although some of them are come close to it. But nevertheless, they're still letters. Coney Bear and Housen says, we are in possession of inspired letters. Isn't that glorious? Now, it would be wonderful one day we actually had the autograph. Wouldn't that be grand? That would be really, wouldn't there be a tussle over that? Is it authentic, or, we could all fight over it and stuff? It's not beyond the scope of things. Paul wrote a letter, and when he got down to the end of it, he said, hand me that. And he put down with his own hand, this greeting is with my own hand, which is a sign in every letter of mine. This is how I write. And so, it's a glory that letters were sent from one soul to other souls. It could just be Philemon or to Timothy. But nevertheless, there's these people are separated by time and space in some way, and letters have to be sent. As much as I hate, some of the stuff that's come into our society via the internet, it is kind of nice that people write to each other again, even if it's some little bitty text message or email. It's kind of nice. Every once in a while, I get an email from someone, and I think, oh, they're thinking of me. And so Paul is thinking of the Thessalonians, and he writes them this letter. And as the result of that is we get to read the letter. Now, I have a stack of letters at home in a kind of a shoebox little thing, and they're letters that Lebeth and I wrote one another before we were married. You're not reading those letters. And you probably wouldn't want to read them. They would probably, well, these letters we want to read. We get to stand by and hear the thoughts of Paul. What a glory. And we sometimes wish that he would have said other things and addressed other topics. Instead of this little economic top, he approached this subject of people that weren't working in the Thessalonian church. They had just stopped working and they were going to wait for the second coming. No use working. He's coming tomorrow. Or he could. Anytime. And Paul addresses that subject. But we're interested in other things. I'm always amazed on how I read through theological journals, and there they are, gender studies. Where did that come from? When did we start doing gender studies? Which is a whole new field of theology. And I look at that and I'm thinking, what are they writing about? We got two of them, you know. God made male and female. What's beyond that? But anyway, we might wish that he had said something about it so we could be, you know, pound the pulpit. This is what Paul said about gender studies. Now we have to infer it. We have to read between the lines and think, you know, whatever. But we nevertheless, we may have wished he would have said other things and addressed other problems, but we have it, and the sovereignty of God was involved in it. The choice of subject and how he wrote about it. And so we have this inspired epistle breathed by God. Just a little question here. Do you think Paul knew he was writing Scripture? I kind of don't think so. It's just my impression of it. Should we vote? Would it matter if we voted? The point is, we have Paul's letter, and it is inspired, and whatever we say about it, we can say it's breathed out by God. Okay. So he says to them, this is my letter, and he ends with a text that's just, he said that basically the same thing's just right up above here. He says, may the favor or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Six times in the scripture, Paul uses this phrase, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's at the end, by the way, it's in Revelation. Steve's going to get there and write it down in 20, I think. I forget. We have a while yet. But he uses the exact same phrase. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm pretty sure. Billy's looking it up. Sometimes Paul would say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Does it say all? Okay. Sometimes Paul just says, may the grace of the Lord be with you. He doesn't say all of you. Sometimes he does say all of you. But in any case, six times he says these things. But I like the idea that he says with all of you. There's a, you know, I said this last week, and I repeat it because Paul repeats it. All of us. There's not a special group of Christians that are superior to the others. We all are partakers of the grace of God. When we look at each other, we look at a person, we look at a man or a woman that God's favor is on. All of us. Not just the preachers. Not just Sunday school teachers. Not just the elders. All of us. And I want you to know God's grace, God's favor is on you. That makes you, let me put it very bluntly, special. What's the word we use today since we're talking about modern things? It sets you aside as a very privileged person. You have upon you the very favor of God. What a wonderful thing. Common people here in East Texas, I don't see many great among you, many wise. We have a physician here. We have a couple of physicians at our church. We have at least, Roy Dean, are you the sole possessor of a PhD in the room? I don't know. Well, see, that isn't much. I mean, we only have one. But you know, we all, and Roy Dean would, he doesn't lead with that, by the way. I tell you, what sets us all apart is the favor of God. The grace of God be with you all. And I think, and even here, there's a hint here, even of those silly souls that quit working. Even those that were not holding to the Christian pattern in regarding to work, Paul said, I set the pattern among you. I worked, you work. Even those ones, he says, may the grace of the Lord be with you all. Isn't it wonderful that the grace of God does not just leave us every time we step out of line? Have any of y'all ever stepped out of line? No, not us. Yes, we have. And we've all are in need of repentance at times. The grace of God be with you all. What a wonderful thing that it doesn't leave us. His favor. Now, Paul says to the whole group, the grace of the Lord be with you all. This is in contrast, and I've said it again, but I'll before, and I'll say it again. There comes a time when Paul gets pretty severe. There comes times when there's something so strong within the body that Paul has to make a strong stance. And he would say, he said it to the Galatians, if someone comes to you bearing another gospel, what do you say to that man? Let him be what? Accursed. So there's, he didn't say at the end of Galatians, may the Lord's grace be with you all, even you heretics. He said, don't even go in there. John's gospel, John's letter, second letter of John, says, don't even receive them into your house. There are certain doctrines that are so critical. We withhold ourselves from those that would spread that doctrine. Now, I'll let you decide what those doctrines are. Paul was pretty clear about the gospel. We'll leave that to another day. But he said, may the grace of God be with all of you there to the Thessalonians. And I think in this, he says, you need to consider, don't, they're brothers. He says they're your brothers. And don't break their hearts, at least they get overcome. You know, receive them back. That was weeks ago when we talked about that. In another place, Paul says, may the grace of God be upon you all. And in another place, he adds, with your spirit. May the grace of the Lord be with your spirit. What is so special about a Christian? The favor of the King is on our spirits. The kindness of God is on our inner man and has touched our very souls, our spirits. That's what sets you apart. It's not that we're red and yellow, black and white, but Jesus loves us all. What sets us apart is that love. And so when you see a brother, the reason I'm laboring over this is because I think that one of the things that you and I are called to is to pray for our fellow church, the church in the world today, and for revival. And if we don't have a broad, and I don't like the word ecumenical spirit, I don't like that word, but I'm going to have to use it. If we don't have a broad outlook about our brothers and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ across the earth, there'd be something wrong, because we're supposed to be praying for them. Years ago, I had an employee for just a little while. I never had too many employees because I didn't like the responsibility of having to pay them. It was kind of a burden. But he was a fine fella, Gerardo Sanchez. I really liked him a lot. And he was a Christian. He went out here to the church that Brother Barbosa preaches at. And he was a strong, I don't know how it happened, but somewhere while he worked for me, he had come to the Lord, and he was strong. And he had a birthday party for his son. Hispanics love their birthday parties. And it was an all-day party. People were coming and going, and most of these fellas worked at the chicken processing plant up here. And so somehow they'd gotten a great deal on chicken. And they cooked chicken fajitas for maybe 8 hours straight, and we just ate and ate and ate until I didn't want to, Mark, I'm sorry, I didn't want to eat chicken for a while. But listen, I didn't know what they were saying. I would pick up words here and there, and I'd learned how to say, let's mow the grass or trim the bushes. I'd learned some of that stuff in Spanish, but the other stuff, I didn't know what they were saying. But you know what? I could see the grace of God on them. They were the sweetest bunch of people. Can you see the grace of God on people's spirit? Paul prayed for them. May the grace of God be with your spirit. That's in one of his other letters. I don't even have it written down here. But the grace of God is what sets us apart. Now, along with that, let me come to what Coney Barrenhausen says right at the very end of all this. And Coney Bear is thinking about Paul, Paul sealing up the letters, and I don't know, maybe there's a seal on it. And it gets handed to somebody. Coney Barrenhausen say that the Greeks had these really light ships that he called them coasters. In sailing vessels, and they just kind of dotted all. They went all around the Aegean Sea up into those islands, and they would touch. And they would. These guys would carrying small amounts of goods, but they were often carrying letters. It's just like they had one grand postal service. Anybody that had a little ship could have been. He could have had letters, and so Coney Barrenhausen speaks of these coasters. This letter been put into the hands of some sea captain somewhere in a tiny little ship, and it goes off to Thessalonica. Tony Bernhausen says this: along with the official documents which passed between the Roman governors of the eastern provinces and communications between the merchants of northern and western Aegean, letters were now sent which related to the establishment of a kingdom not of this world and riches beyond the discovery of human enterprise. Here is a letter that's joined with maybe 100 other letters. And the letters are concerning official government business. Or maybe they're concerned with free enterprise, on the entrepreneurial spirit of man. People are saying, I would like you to send me 25 pieces of leather. He's a shoemaker. Or may I would like you to send gold. I need it for this enterprise. And Tony Bernhausen says, along with the letters, the official letters of the Roman world and letters of merchants going back and forth, letters were now sent which relate to the establishment of a kingdom not of this world and riches beyond the discovery of human enterprise. The Christians write of a kingdom. Was this a letter concerning a kingdom? Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the king may spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did with you. I said, mine doesn't say that. What's yours say? Lord. Sometimes I think we use a word so much it doesn't have much meaning to us. Paul was accused of preaching that there was another king. So if you want to, you could, and when you come across the word king, Lord in the Bible, maybe just get in the habit of saying in your mind, the king. Or if you don't, that sounds too strong for you, why don't you just say the master? That would be a good word to put in there. Nevertheless, Paul said in Thessalonians, pray for us that the word of the king may spread rapidly and be glorified. Letters written for the establishment of a kingdom not of this world. Letters regarding human enterprise and entrepreneurialism. That's a hard word to say. Paul said to the Ephesians, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Do you want to get rich? Oh, sure. Yes. Paul preached and wrote a letter that would make man rich. The unfathomable riches of Christ. Oh, we labor for that which is not bread. We labor for things that have no lasting value. I read years ago about a horse lot on Pillar Street downtown. There a fellow had a business there. He'd invested money on a pasture right there off Pillar. You know how Pillar drops down pretty good there? Y'all know that? And he had a horse lot, and people would come to town, and they'd leave their horses with him. And he made good money. And then there came the day when they wanted to pave Nacogdoches, the streets downtown, with brick. And he was sorely against it. I mean, he was against it. Those bricks would hurt the horse's feet downtown. And he had invested a lot of money in that horse lot. He should have sold that horse lot to some unsuspecting soul, because what was getting ready to happen? No one would have horses. The riches that he thought that he would gain with that horse lot disappeared. What do we invest in? I kind of wish I'd invested in Google years ago. What would I be? A Googler. more in possession of... Listen, there's coming a day when no one wants Google's anything to do with Google. They don't know it, but it will happen. Paul spoke of riches beyond comparing. He says, we preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Give your life to this and you'll be all right. I guarantee it. Seek first the kingdom of God and you'll be all right. Has God let any of y'all down? In the midst of great trouble, he hadn't let you down. There is not a thing I need that God will not provide for. In fact, there are things I don't need that he's provided for, because he's just not nice and good to me. Leah came home with cookies the other day. I didn't need that. What were those cookies? Did you see the little tea cakes? Did you get any of them, man, at our house? No. Anna didn't need any. But I did. She brought them home, and there they were, just for me. Riches. Not only in this life, but in the life to come, glorious riches. And then there are other kind of letters sent. That Paul's letters kind of join in with. Family letters. Brothers talking to brothers. Fathers talking to sons. Here in Paul's letter, and we said it, boy, it's been a long time when I looked it up. When we were in Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, gave it a lot of time, the idea we were brothers, and I've mentioned it nearly every week, because Paul used, he uses the word brother 26 times in just Thessalonian letters. It's an amazing little tidbit. Paul said to the Romans that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. There's a fraternal aspect of the faith. We are brothers. More in greater degree than any earthly family. And so here in this letter, Paul posts off to the Thessalonians, it's a letter. I don't know how many other letters on that ship that he sent them off to. We're not sure it was a ship. It could have been a guy on foot. But for this purpose, it was a ship. Did it join with other letters of some fellow writing his father, or a fellow writing his brother? These are letters of a family. We're a family. Did you know letters... were often sent in the old days that were reports about battles. Sam Houston wrote a letter to Anna Regey right after the Battle of San Jacinto. It's over. The battle's been won. 18 minutes. We had, in a matter of 18 minutes, Texas was independent, a republic, free and independent from Mexico. It was an account of a battle. I'm telling you, Paul's letters are accounts of a militant people. Battles are being fought. Battles are being won. Battles are being lost. Tragic things, tragic news would come at times to Paul and it'd break his heart. But the Christian faith is full of battles. News from the front. Did you know your life is a series of triumphs and failures? Triumphs. You know, when you walk a day and you're walking with God and you're close to Him and your heart is sold out to Him, what a day. What a day of a triumph. We could write down in your journal. By the way, it's good to write in your journal. When you write in your journal, what a glorious day. My heart was His today. I could feel it. And then on another time you'd say, oh, I was so taken with the things of the world today, I hardly gave Him a thought. Our letters are often reports about battles won or lost. But I just want to put it in there. This, in the midst of this, the church militant in this life, there will be letters written about battles. And Paul would write about letters, about battles. Fellas, put on the whole armor of God. Don't involve yourself in the matters of civilian life. No soldier gets involved in that stuff. A good soldier is all in for the battle. Paul's letters joined in on that little coaster. Paul's letter about a kingdom. Paul's letter about a family. Paul's letter about battles won and lost. Paul's letters about riches, the riches of Christ. They just were slipped in among other letters. Things unknown to the world. Do you think that little coaster as it went off towards Thessalonica, that anyone knew that one of the most important letters ever to be written was on that ship? Right under the world's nose, these things happen. Unbeknownst to us, God is working. This encouraged Leabeth and I a lot this week. I want to encourage you. You may think God is doing nothing today. You don't hear much. It looks as if we're on the sideline of life's world, the world. It doesn't look like the gospel triumphs well. The battles seem to be lost more often than they're won. We may think nothing is going on, but I tell you, things are. Right under the world's nose. They don't know it. An example. On July 4th, 1776, our country declared its independence from England. Y'all know this story. On the same day, off in England, King George wrote in his journal, "Nothing of importance happened today." But something did happen. Listen, when your soul is aflame for God, when your soul is triumphing, boy, things are happening. The world doesn't know it or care. But things are happening. I tell you, this very day, glory is being accomplished. Secret things in your own heart. I don't know them. I don't know what's in your heart. And you don't know what's in mine. But I tell you, it's right under the nose of the devil, and he doesn't even know it. Right under the nose of the world. They don't know it. God is not constrained by man, his powers, his approval, his wisdom. Right under the nose of man, God does his work. And a letter goes into the mail, and it's inspired by Almighty God. And it travels down through the Aegean, along the coast, from, I think, Corinth. And it ends up at Thessalonica. And men read it, and they say, let's keep this letter. It's God-breathed. So we just finished the story. We're finishing it. We finished studying it. But God is doing things unbeknownst to you and to me and to the rest of the world. Have you ever wondered about the 7,000 in Elijah's day? What life they led? How about y'all? They were so... Elijah thought there wasn't a 7,000. He didn't even know who they were. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left serving you. What'd God say to him? I've got 7,000. Have you ever wondered about the lives of those men? God had them, and it was a secret to some extent, but it was a glory. So, I'm going to read Coney Bear again to you. I hope it blesses you. It sure blessed Leabeth and I. Along with the official documents which passed between Roman governors of the eastern provinces, and the communications between merchants of the northern and western Aegean, letters were now sent which related to the establishment of a kingdom not of this world and riches beyond the discovery of human enterprise. Whew. Put it in the post box, and it went off. What letters? Okay, that's all I have, and we'll do something else next week. Father, we're grateful that there's a whole genre now. The letters of the apostles, apostolic letters. And Father, what a thing that has transpired. Apostles sending letters to men, breathed by God Himself. We thank you for it. And we thank you that you, in your sovereignty, ordained this kind of communication in your church and among your people. Father, as we open the Bible each day and we read, we in some sense look over the shoulder of the Apostle Paul and read what he wrote to other men. Such a gift to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.